Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, this is the second part of a two-part series regarding patents, trademarks, and copyrights, intellectual property. We're featuring Mark Bowen, who is a mechanical engineer and board-certified attorney in intellectual property law. And that means he is an expert of the law firm of Malin, Haley DiMaggio, and Bowen. They've been around now for over 48 years. As I said in part one, whether you're a new business or you've been around generations, you must listen and you should take notes. This is information you need, even though you don't know when you need it. First of all, I'd like to introduce and say good afternoon to our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Yeah, hey, Phil. Good afternoon to you. I was going to take one quick second to give a shout-out to our new office in Hollywood right off the circle. Realtors, with Gibraltar Title, will do your closings. Got to pay the rent, Phil. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. No,
you know, I've been on the show for years. You know, I don't normally do that, but I new office, got to pay the rent.
That's so true. And it's a great organization.
Three rents.
Gibraltar Title's
three
been
offices.
Around forever.
Three rents.
May have three rents.
And good afternoon, Gary Astro.
Good afternoon. Happy to remain here. Didn't think I'd be here long.
Well, it was a close vote, but
it was in favor in any event.
And
I'm
of course,
stuck in there for you.
Yeah, of course, that. Michael Santucci. Good afternoon.
How are you, Phil? I want to congratulate a brand new lawyer that I had the pleasure of swearing in 2 weeks ago. His name is Salvatore Fazio. He's an NSU law grad.
And go Sharks.
I met him very, very timely for this show. I met him judging an IP moot court competition. He was like the star intellectual property competitor in this moot court competition for NSU. So congratulations, Sal.
How come Matuch gets to do cool things? He gets to swear in attorneys. I usually just swear at him.
No, they swear at you more.
More than
that's the client, sorry.
This is a very important segment. Even for myself, things do fall through cracks. You know, it's always cost-effective to be proactive than retroactive. It always saves me money. The worst thing I would want to have is a cease and desist letter on my website, my name, my business, or anything that has to do with trademark, intellectual property law, or if I manufacture products, patents. And, you know, I just want to bring people up to speed regarding trademarks and copyrights. And I'd like to say good afternoon, Mark Bowen.
Good afternoon, Phil. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Well, Mark, just briefly, what is the difference between a trademark and a copyright?
Sure. A trademark is a word, a symbol, a logo. It can even be a sound, a scent, a motion that identifies a source of goods or services.
A phrase? Because Donald Trump tried to get, you know, you're fired, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what his issue there was, but a phrase is perfectly protectable. Just do it is a popular phrase by Nike that is a registered mark. So that's what a trademark is, something that identifies a source of goods or services, what you're selling, who's selling it. A copyright, on the other hand, is a means of protection for artistic works, original works of authorship, paintings, photographs, books, articles, you name it, anything artistic almost, sculptures can be protected by copyright.
So, Mark, let me jump in. Am I violating the Nike trademark by telling my employees when they are lame and can't get something done to just do it?
Yes.
Yeah. I do it all the time. Am I exposed?
I don't think so in that case.
Well, he says at job interviews.
It doesn't sound like you're using the mark in commerce to identify you as a source of goods or services. But I like the fact you're cracking down on it.
Hey, Mark. What about government agencies? Can they get this protection? Can you like trademark the Supreme Court or something like that?
Well, the Supreme Court would essentially be a generic descriptor.
Well,
for
just in general,
what the
can
court
government
is.
Entities take advantage of this protection?
Yeah, they can. The government entities can come up with logos themselves and use. The EPA has logos that they use, and I'm sure they don't want anybody using logos that would. Make the public think that they were dealing with the EPA.
What about, like, you know, you often see, like, the IRS law firm, you know, how do they get away with that?
Yeah, you know, I don't know that a lot of people do get away with it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of issues there.
But you don't want to piss off the IRS, though,
but,
right?
But, you know,
plenty of ways to do it.
Use of false and misleading symbols and logos in commerce is something that's actionable as well. So I'm sure the IRS doesn't take kindly to that.
Now, is there – I'm sorry, one more question, Michael. Is there anything that – like, is this all private causes of action, or can the government step in if you're misusing labels misleading way?
Typically, it's a private cause of action. The government, namely the Department of Commerce, registers patents and trademarks, and the Library of Congress handles copyrights. So they are the regulatory body that will issue registrations, issue patents, register copyrights. And once those rights are registered and issued and so forth, that's what one would enforce against
the defendant. So people don't go to jail for this. They just, you know, lose money.
Typically not, although counterfeiting, right, yeah, typically counterfeiting, there are some exceptions to that. If you counterfeit in marks, that does okay. Reach
Rolex
over to criminal
and Gucci
side.
Have a lot of play with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Oh, sure. Yeah, they
they'll shut them
there have
down.
Been a number of stories of that down here. The swap shop had a big problem
sure.
With
mm-hmm.
knockoff products.
What's but again, I want to be swap? Clear on our last broadcast. This is the second part of a two-parter. It doesn't matter if you got a business name that's been approved by your state that you're doing business in. We are broadcast nationally. It doesn't matter if you got a domain name from GoDaddy. Just because you are able to get these, that does not mean that you are legal.
That's correct.
And our tagline for the show is be legal.
I could probably, assuming that there wasn't a corporation on the books already, register McDonald's of Fort Lauderdale today as a corporate name. And the Department of State, assuming there wasn't another McDonald's of Fort Lauderdale, would allow me to form that corporation.
But you don't sell hamburgers.
The problem would be when I open my restaurant,
right.
That's when I would be using that name in commerce such that it would be affecting the true McDonald's corporation.
Like Theo McDonald, like Theo McDowell on Coming to America.
Yes, McDowell.
Right. Exactly.
McDowell's, yes.
Mark, I see you're also a member of the International Trademark Association. Are you going to go to Barcelona for the INTA convention this
wow.
year?
Yeah. You guys know how to party.
The poker run for that?
Yeah. We've been talking about it. We have friends who go to almost every one of those, and they're always globetrotting across the world. But I don't know that we'll make Barcelona, yeah. But hopefully one soon.
My wife won't let me go all the way to Barcelona without her. And
without her.
Might have to take her.
Does she let you do the poker runs?
I can
property lawyer.
I can go across the street. Yeah. But, you know, we have two small kids.
There's a Cafe Barcelona in Mexico. You can go.
as long as it's not Hotel California.
So, Mark, we've talked a lot about trademarks, but you're also a registered patent attorney, and all patent attorneys have to have some sort of science background. What's your science background?
Sure. I have a background in mechanical engineering from North Carolina State, and I received that in 1985. I worked for a while in industry and finally had an opportunity to go to the University of Miami and go to law school. And then once you're through and you take the bar exam to become a registered patent attorney, you also have to take a patent bar exam, which actually has a pass rate that is less than the Florida bar exam interestingly. But we got through that, and I've been doing this for over 20 years and really enjoy it.
Gary Singer wanted me to ask you this. There's nothing to do with me.
Probably
he
not.
Wants to know if you can see your bar card. I don't know. What. First time he's ever asked that of a guest. I don't know why. I'm just the messenger.
I keep it in a vault.
Keep it, that's right. But in all seriousness, have you had a client come in? We're talking about patents now. And, hey, I got this great idea. And he pulls out a napkin from a restaurant. Is that a myth, or does that really happen?
No, that really happens. I've had clients come in with the sketch on a napkin. I've had clients come in with full-blown prototypes. I've had clients come in, and just off the top of their head, they'll tell me what it is. And as long as I can understand what they have come up with, what it is, how it works, what it improves upon, what sort of problem it solves, usually we can get the ball rolling from that.
Please. Well, go ahead, Phil.
You've had interesting products. I mean, we joke about the pet rock. But I have to tell you, I would not invest in the Chia Pet. I would say, oh, who the hell would want to use this, you know?
Well, that's why you're not rich.
That's right. $100 million a year. Do you ever have to tell sometimes they ask you your opinion and it's like telling them that their baby's ugly?
Great question. You know, it is a good question.
I get that all the time.
And
We tell people their baby's ugly.
we do get that question as to somebody may ask us what we think of their invention. And coincidentally, I always go back to the pet rock and I say, look, if someone came in with the pet rock and we told them that was the dumbest idea we'd ever seen,
right. We
would have done that client a disservice. So
another $100 million problem.
What I'm here for is to tell you, is it a protectable idea, and how can we protect it? And that really is my goal.
Well, do you often get people that come in like with their great, brilliant idea they thought of, and you're like, I just saw this in a Target shelf a couple days ago.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know that I've had one where I've seen it in Target, but people do come in with things that you may have an inkling. Okay, with all the searching we have done, there are over 9 million patents.
Wow!
And we tend to see a lot of things when you search every day. And so if somebody does come in and it's something that I've got a good sense that it's out there, I'll let them know.
Well, what about if they come to you and they say, you know, I go to Walmart all the time. It's not in Walmart.
Yeah, I've had that as well. Walmart has a lot of things, but just because it's not in Walmart doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
The first part is, what actually is a patent and what rights does a patent actually provide?
Sure. A patent is a grant from the U.S. government that grants the owner the exclusive rights to essentially make, use, or sell the product in the United States. Patents cover advancements in all kinds of things. The Supreme Court at one time said literally anything under the sun made by man could be patented. So in exchange for the inventor bringing forth his patent, filing a patent application, and fully disclosing his invention, the public policy behind that is that the government will grant that inventor essentially a monopoly, the exclusive right to make, use, or sell the claimed invention in the United States for a limited period of time. And currently, under the current law, that limitation is the patent is effective for 20 years from its filing date.
But is it ever a bad idea to get your product patented?
There are some cases where clients will prefer to maintain maybe not a product, but a process, a trade secret.
So, the Coke example.
The Coke example is exactly the one we usually talk about. The Coca-Cola recipe, the formula, while the ingredients are on the can, part of the trade secret is how they process it and how they come up with Coke, and that is a trade secret.
Well, Mike had an interesting case. As a matter of fact, it seems like all lawyers that practice intellectual property law, and it was against Disney World. Was that a trade secret? I mean, you won $240 million. I don't mean just you. It was Johnny Cochran, the late Johnny Cochran, and Willie Geary that were co-counsels. Mm-hmm. It was the three of you.
There were copyright aspects of it because there were architectural plans that we our clients believe were copied also. But mm-hmm. ultimately, we won on a theft of trade secrets count, and that's what it was for basically taking the concept and the idea and all of the years of work and research and know-how for a sports-themed amusement park, which is now called Disney's Wide World of Sports.
Oh.
Our clients worked on it for about a decade before they presented it to
Disney. So they got $240 million and Disney's making billions on it.
Right.
But they're not
still,
Disney,
not
truly Disney.
But Mark Bowen, you see cases like that. You've tried cases, but when it comes to patents, first of all, what does it mean when I see patent pending? Is that a scare tactic?
Patent pending is a deterrent typically. When it means that an application has been filed, it does not mean that a patent issues. And it typically is used as a deterrent. The reasonable competitor seeing a product patent pending will refrain from knocking that product off.
Okay.
You know, we're going to have to take a quick break. You're listening to Legal News and Review, and we're talking about trademarks, copyrights, patents, and trade secrets even. And you need to know this information to help protect your business. A little money will save you a lot of aggravation. You certainly don't want to be having a thriving business and get that almighty cease and desist letter. You know, and that does happen as well. We're going to be coming right back, speaking to Mark Bowen, and, you know, what does it actually mean to society, business, individuals? I mean, why are patents useful? We'll be coming right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
We're going to jump right in. Legal News and Review is back on the air. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, along with Michael Santucci, Gary Ostro, and, of course, last but not least, Gary Singer.
Pam Tootin.
And we're talking to Mark Bowen. And Mark Bowen is an intellectual property law attorney. He's also board certified. That makes him an expert. And, you know, Mark, when we left before the break, why are patents useful to society, business, and individuals?
Question.
Yeah, patents foster innovation. And the policy behind the patent system is that in exchange for investing in innovation, an inventor then will come forth and disclose that innovation in the form of a patent application. And as a reward, that inventor receives the exclusive rights to commercialize that invention, essentially, in the United States and its territories. And so it in a sense, fosters invention because without the patent system, if someone were to come up with a nice idea and spend a lot of money getting there, once it hit the market, virtually anybody could copy it exactly. But with a patent, the owner has the right to prevent that sort of thing from happening.
What about foreigners? How do you protect against foreigners stealing it?
Patent rights can be extended into foreign countries. That's a good question. And typically the way we handle it here is we would start with an initial U.S. filing, and then there are procedures in place to extend that protection into various foreign countries.
Yeah. Or, Gary, you can build a wall.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best ways. Really.
But patent protection. Everything. The wall.
But about the Hotel California.
Mark. Give our listeners a stern warning about the deadlines within which to file a brand new patent application and then also the provisional patent application issue, the duration.
Sure. Well, patent application should be filed as soon as possible. The law here in our country changed several years back, and we are now under what is called a first-to-file system. So what that means is essentially it's a race to the patent office. If two people come up with the same idea – only one of those two people is entitled to a patent, and that person is the first one to get their application filed. So the first-to-file system is something that we operate under now, so we encourage our clients to file early and file often. If things change, we file, come in with follow-up applications.
Can you do that again, but a little sterner?
When it comes to patents, I'm a businessman, and I have ideas. I have ideas for an app. Is an app patentable?
An app potentially is patentable. The law on an app is essentially software. And the law as it applies to software sort of has been in flux for the last 10 years. And the pendulum right now is swinging away from patentability as to software. So apps, while great, it's a mixed bag with them. Certainly there's copyright issues there. There's trademark issues there. Whether it's patentable or not is something that has to be researched, given the state of the current law.
And talk about research. I come to you with my domain name, my company name, anything that I paid a graphic artist for a logo and everything else, and I show it to you, and you find that someone else is using it. What happens? Even though I'm asking you for protection, but someone else is using it.
Sure. Well, if the issue has to do with the trademark, for example, you come in and you say, can I use this as a trademark? And we do some research and we find that someone else is using it. If that someone else has registered their mark and has been using it before you conceived of it or before you actually used it, then unfortunately we might have to tell you that you may not be entitled to use that mark.
Or on the converse side, you can get it registered and then we can go after them, can we not, if they did not register it?
Yeah, that would be fact dependent. Again, if we're talking about trademarks, rights in a mark are based on use and priority of use. So whoever essentially uses a mark first will be considered to have superior rights. The same thing more or less happened to Burger King the chain. As Burger King the chain began its expansion across the country, they ran into a small mom and pop somewhere in the South that had a restaurant called Burger King.
Right.
And they fought that battle for a while, and lo and behold, the mom and pop won.
Was it pre-existing?
It was pre-existing to the chain.
Then they patented and protected it?
Well, and here's what happened. The court found that they did have superior rights, but those rights were limited to a geographic area. And I think they got something like a 20-mile radius from their location. And so I'm sure the chain enveloped them and eventually bought them out.
Is that normal, or was that a dollar decision? That seems very unfair against a little guy, doesn't it?
Well,
you win, but you know, you're 10 feet in front of your restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Well, if that was the
like
zone,
you got rich on
that was
one.
The zone in which the court determined that they had superior rights. So under that,
but is
scenario,
that normal? Like they'll do a geographic zone. Common law
trademark rights, meaning you're using a mark without having it registered, can be geographically limited.
Okay.
In other words, your rights are where you've used the mark. So if you haven't used it west of the Mississippi, you know, your rights stop at the Mississippi.
That was my Uber case. It was an unregistered first user, and they got a geographic area. They had, you know, that was the argument.
Because that almost seems like a screw
and
job.
Uber registered first, so. Yeah. Unfortunately, the clients came to me before, you know, too late. I would have told them to register as soon as they started their business. So.
And briefly, because we have to wrap this up, can you actually challenge a patent decision? In other words, if they turn it down?
There's numerous ways that a patent can be challenged. Assuming the patent issues, if that patent is enforced against a defendant, the defendant can challenge the validity of the patent. In other words, they can challenge whether it was proper for the U.S. government to actually issue the patent. That challenge can be on numerous grounds. One of the most common one is that the invention should not have been patented because there was something out there somewhere in the world that came prior that would have prevented that patent from issuing had the patent office known about it.
You know, Mark, it goes by so fast, and you're great to be here. And sorry, I was joking about the trademark has your name in it, Mark, which it does. But
we're all sorry about that.
Yeah. But you are an
not
expert.
A very good joke.
You're board certified. you're also a
does anyone think that was a good joke?
Mechanical engineer.
I fortunately didn't hear it.
So. Well, you lucked out this time.
I'll tell you, I feel like Rodney Dangerfield. Not even my yo-yo's going to come back to me.
Wait, but I want to know how we get a hold of Mark.
That's a good question.
How would I get a hold of you if I had more questions?
Sure. Well, we're right here in Fort Lauderdale, Malin, Haley, DiMaggio, and Bowen. We're at mhdpatents.com. That's M as in Malin, H as in Haley, D as in DiMaggio, patents.com. And you can reach me at MDB, my initials, at mhdpatents.com.
But I prefer to call. Is that possible?
You can call me as well. We're at 954-763-3303.
Well, on that note, I guess we're just about out of time, so my good friend the Tooch is going to take us out
the
today.
The Tooch.
Thanks, Gary Singer. Thanks, Gary Ostro. Thanks, Phil Bell. And especially thank Mark Bowen from Malin, Haley, DiMaggio, and Bowen.
Thank you
and
for the
we'll,
music.
And thanks, Stitches with a Z, my client, for what the outgoing touch. Music. And everybody, remember,
be legal!
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to BeLegalBuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for Legal News and Review. Remember, be legal.